This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hello and welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team behind Have I Got News For You, where we take you through our picks of the news this week when the TV show can't.
We'll be looking at both the serious and not so serious news items and trying to convince each other of which story we think would have been perfect for the show if it was on air.
Which it isn't. But let's introduce ourselves anyway. I'm Emerald Paston. I write on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Jack Harris, the sometimes producer of the show.
I'm Mike Raymond, sometimes series producer of the show.
And I'm Queenie Miller, the picture researcher for the show, which is obviously essential for a podcast.
Absolutely key.
Hello, everyone.
Hi. Hello. Hello.
Lovely to see all your faces on the other side of the ocean, because I'm in
New York.
New York.
So it's a real jet set show. We've got St Albans.
I'm in Edinburgh.
Are you in Edinburgh?
And Emerald didn't want to record with me.
Oh, wow. So you're both... That's really passive-aggressive. Well, I think we should crack on straight on with the big question that everyone and all the newspapers talk about this week. Jack, how many people have you told about your deodorant?
I actually told someone about it yesterday as well, again.
No.
Wow. I found another person to talk about it. I've got a new thing to talk about now, which is I went to a supermarket and they had about 20 different flavours of hummus.
That's amazing.
Mm. It's pretty good until you see some of the flavours. So I bought a limited edition dill pickle hummus. The one that I text my American colleagues about was a dessert hummus, which was chocolate flavoured.
We have that here.
Do we actually?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Nutella.
You're behind the curve, man.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week. So I guess let's get straight into round one. The big story this week. The honeymoon period is definitely over for Labour. I mean, talk about being over quick. It's like the political equivalent of filing for divorce using the Wi-Fi on the plane on the way to the Maldives. There's a bit of a fear the first few weeks Labour seemed to be competent.
Ipsos has shown that Keir Starmer's approval ratings have gone down from +7 to 0.
Which is actually not bad in terms of...
So the senior director at Ipsos said that Labour and Keir are still enjoying a moderate honeymoon period. And I feel like only in the UK can something be classed as a honeymoon when the approval rating is 0. Yeah. That's how little fun we have.
Because most people are -4.
That's incredible. Yeah. We should probably say as well, the bane of many topical TV show. We were just slightly too late last week to cover Labour's capitulation to the rail unions. But that's sort of been rumbling on as well, hasn't it?
They give that pay 14%, wasn't it, to was it Aslef?
A fantasy figure from Narnia. I'm glad no one at home can see Queenie's look of disdain. It'll probably melt their face off.
But again, in Narnia, fantasy land, they thought that was going to solve the issue. And it absolutely didn't. They just instantly went, yeah. Oh, yeah, thanks for that. Oh, no, we're also going to call a strike with the LNER. So they, over a different dispute, so they took the pay rise and then still went on strike.
Yeah.
Which I think is brilliant. And then on top of that, you've got Mick Lynch who goes, oh, right, that's what they're getting. Cool, we want that too. Otherwise, we're going on strike.
That's the RMT.
This is how it should work.
Opening the floodgates.
I'm not going to elaborate. I just think there's people should be paid enough.
Again, living in a fantasy land is what we're talking about, which is nice.
Yeah. I totally get what you're saying, Queenie, because even these pay rises, as has been pointed out, they're not making people equivalent to inflation now. They're bringing them back to 2010 levels. So we're sort of going, we just got back to 2010. And even then we can't afford it. I would think there's some worrying lack of honesty from Labour over it and over what they're doing. And I think if they owned it a bit more and accepted that they can't please everyone, it might play a bit better.
Keir Starmer this week went to Wales, didn't he, to go look at a load of wind farms.
And he must be so annoyed. He was going to go on holiday.
Yeah.
And he couldn't go.
Oh, he's stuck in Wales.
Some people go to Wales to look at wind farms for a holiday. At the same time, it's like, yeah, look how green credentials. And then the government snuck in the fact that they're increasing capacity to London City Airport by like 50%.
Yeah, I think in technical term for it, it's taking the piss.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously they've been quite swift to convict all of these rioters. And they go, great, we've convicted them. We haven't got any space for them. So they've had to invoke what they've called Operation Early Dawn, which sounds exciting.
It's like the Riders of Rohan.
Again, we're going fantasy with it, aren't we?
Look to me on the third morning over Wormwood Scrubs.
too much, right? In knowledge.
You can never have enough.
What I really enjoyed about that, the idea that if they haven't got space for them in cells, they're going to keep them in police cells or they're going to bail them. But they're like, we're not going to bail any of the ones who are really bad. You know, if they went into Lush and they stole three gift kits, they're not getting bailed, right? There was an article where they said the operation in future to kind of like deal with the overflow, it can just be turned off and turned on again, which is the real last line of desperation where you've got to go for the turn off, turn on and see if it works.
Are you saying with the Lush protesters getting locked up, it's a real ticking bath bomb?
Oh, I like very it. Very good. I was waiting for it. I was excited.
Doing them now for Queenie's reactions. That's all I'm...
And no one can see them, which is the beauty.
Yeah. That's more where that came from.
Tensions are bubbling. Could you say that?
Oh,
that wasn't as good.
Yeah. I mean, what an absolute shower they are.
But I guess the big story at the moment is the cronyism stuff that's come out.
In some ways, this might not stand out that much because we've kind of become used to people in government putting people they want into the civil service or into particular positions. But the reason it matters is because those civil servant positions that we're talking about are meant to be impartial. They're not meant to be related to any party. And so bringing in cronies, people that you are already pals with, maybe isn't as impartial as it's meant to be.
Mm. More and more coming out. Even this afternoon, there was another story about another political appointee by Labour into a civil service position, Annie Rose Peterman, who has been put in charge of Starmer's Diary, which sounds like it should be sort of political, but everyone says no, that it can't be a political appointment. It has to be something that's come from like a sort of neutral civil servant background.
But what was she before?
She worked for Emily Thornberry. She was basically like a Labour Party staffer, essentially.
If you were in charge of Starmer's Diary, where would you send him?
I'd make him come to Spurs with me on Saturday.
But Mike, you're a Spurs fan and it's uncomfortable for you as it is, isn't it? So
yeah, it is. It's not a pleasant thing. Where would you send him, Queenie?
I was thinking about this. In Edinburgh, there are a lot of baked potato shops. And they all have mascots that are like really happy potatoes. And it reminds me of Starmer every single time. It's just the head shape is perfect. So I think he'd be really good as one of those.
What, because he's like he's found his brethren?
He obviously looks like an Easter Island statue, but he also looks like an anthropomorphic baked potato.
Obviously.
That's fantastic.
So I'd like to send him there. Or, I don't know, Gambardo's.
What's Gambardo's?
Yeah, what is Gambardo's?
It's like one of those indoor plays.
It sounds like a crime family from The Sopranos. We'll send you to see the Gambardo's.
The Gambardo's.
Yeah. I think if Labour ran a jacket potato shop, it would look really impressive. You'd have loads of beans and cheese on top, and then you'd walk outside and scrape it, and then just be raw potato underneath.
Or it's just the skin. Nothing else is
happening. Yeah. 90, they've given you 90% skin. God. And then they go, oh, it's Rishi Sunak's fault.
Well, who was the one you were talking about, Mike, with the cronyism?
Emily Middleton. She was a partner at Public Digital and she's been named Director General in the Department of Science, Innovation and Technology. You know, diss it. She's in diss it. That's all you need to say. She's involved in working for a company that made donations to the Labour Party and then subsequently found his jobs. And what I think is really interesting is this is all coming at a time when we know now that Rachel Reeves is going to have to raise taxes. And on top of that, they're going to have to cut Whitehall department budgets. Something's telling me it's not going to be a first in, first out policy when it comes to sacking people. So it sort of makes it even more, I don't know, grubby.
The other one was the appointment of
Ian Caulfield. Is he the Treasury guy?
And he that is caused up an even bigger stink because he personally donated like $20,000 to Labour MPs, including to Rachel Reeves. And they didn't declare that to the civil service kind of authority, the watchdog who put that in.
When I heard about this cronyism thing, I smelt Tory. And we know how much Labour love to stick to Tory policy. So I was like, I'm going to do some research. And it only took me about 3 seconds to get back to May 2022, where the Tories were accused of exactly the same thing. They put two businessmen who together donated more than £1 million in very high-profile public sector health jobs.
Yeah. I think we do on the show as well. We probably do a super... I think it was Guido, did a supercut of Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer and all of the cabinet ministers talking about cronyism. And I know they are very one-sided, but it made a good point.
It sort of suggests they don't have a great respect for the intellect of the electorate of Great Britain.
Yeah, true.
So it's been such a small amount of time and they're already doing this, and then it'll be less than 6 months before they've also raised taxes, dropped their green pledges. That won't wash with people, and the goodwill you've got for coming into a very difficult situation is going to evaporate. very, very quickly.
Would we be able to gamify this on Have I Got News?
Good question.
Would you do like a Kia end of honeymoon and it's all the things that have ruined his honeymoon? Have Kia
yeah,
on a
his face photoshopped into a plane or something.
He's on a beach.
Yeah.
He's sticking his head through, like at the seaside. He's sticking his head through. You're on the, you're on the body of an old man.
Yeah. And another person's head comes through and goes, what's their connection to the Labour Party?
Yeah.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. Before we get into round two, I just want to take a moment to pass on our thoughts to the family and friends of a much-loved member of the Have I Got News For You team, Roger Law. He was a legendary lawyer for many TV and radio shows across the BBC, but he's especially well-loved and regarded on Have I Got News For You, and we certainly kept him busy. Characterised by his kindness, calmness, wisdom and wit, he'll be sorely missed.
Yeah, always fun to work with someone who loved the show. That's it.
He really did. It was always fun because you sit in the gallery and there'd be something that was said and you'd think, oh, we might be in trouble here. And you turn and look and Roger would just be slapping his leg laughing. And then there'd be other times where you were just completely in the show and you wouldn't even pick something up that someone had said. And Roger would be like, phum, on it. Certainly averted many a lawsuit. If you'd like to donate to Cancer Research UK in Roger's name, you can visit www.rogerlaw.muchloved.com. Now it's time for round two, where we each bring a news item from the past week that we think would work perfectly for round two of the TV show. Jack,
yep.
As you're ahead of us in hours over there in New York, you can go first because I think that's how time works.
I think I'm behind, but I'll happily start first. Yeah.
A bit like my brain, apparently.
I've got it all to come. Whatever you guys have gone through in the last 5 hours, I'm excited to...
Oh, mate, it's horrendous.
But unsurprisingly, I'm going to cover something from America. Quite a big week this week because the DNC, so the Democratic National Convention, where they're crowning Kamala Harris as the choice. So they have 4 days and they've got all these kind of big name speakers. Joe Biden being the kind of marquee name, there's a bit of controversy because he got pushed to quite late on. So he didn't stop speaking until about 12:30 in Eastern time, which is kind of like the media hub, I guess. And all of his team supposedly were unhappy about that. And also, poor guy, man. He's 81, right? And they're making him starting to talk at like 11:30 at night.
But I read a thing that said they blamed the fact that there was just so much applause throughout the night.
That raucous applause was the excuse. And you think,
really?
They've definitely, like, as someone pointed out on CNN, like, they've definitely accounted for that. This is not the first time that everyone's been getting like clapped.
What is going on? Like boasting about their raucous applause. I mean, this is like giving Kamala Harris an easy run. I mean, honestly, like Kim Jong-un got a harder re-election campaign.
And they always account for raucous applause in North Korea. So,
I mean, that's 90% of the show.
Yeah, exactly. So that was quite funny. And also very funny in that you've got Nancy Pelosi, who's been sort of accused of being the orchestrator of getting Joe Biden to stand down. Everyone had these We Love Joe banners and you could see her sort of really phoning in the We Love Joe as everyone around. She's like, yeah, come on, keep it going.
I rate that. Get
that'd be a great, I love a great video playing for the show.
Another thing, they had the roll call. So they go through the states where they announce who's voting for who. And obviously everyone's giving their votes to Kamala Harris. But there's been some great comparisons of the RNC, so the Republican National Convention. It was very kind of like, okay, now we go to Ohio for their votes in the RNC. And they'd go, yeah, we give 40 votes to Donald Trump. And at the DNC, they took it to another level because they had a DJ who would play a song related to each state for like a party atmosphere.
Whoa.
And did you see Little John turned up? Did anyone see this?
What?
No, but I love it.
So Little John.
What, from Robin Hood?
It was actually Little John. The singer Little John singing Down For That. rapping along to announce George's votes. And it was very bizarre. Everyone was quite excited. Yeah, and I quite like that. I think in our show, we'd go, okay, this is what the RNC looks like. Relaxed, normal, a bit boring. DNC, they're pumping it up with these tunes. And then you cut to like Tory party or Labour party conference. You've got Theresa May popping in. You know,
we'd have Margaret Beckett singing House of the Rising Sun. That was a classic for a long time. It's a tough watch.
Wow.
Obama did a bit of a barnstorming speech, as you'd expect. He did a bit of a side joke about Donald Trump's crowd sizes with a sort of nod to what else could be big or large.
Get him.
It's not very demure.
Oh, look at you, Mike.
No.
Tapping into the TikTok generation.
Yeah, you guys thought, oh, Mike, he don't like Brat or Banksy. He's not down with the kids. Well, guess what?
You've just used the phrase that you've seen online. Good. That's good, right?
Yeah, I have nothing else other than I've seen a lot of people saying it.
I've seen it pop up, but I don't know.
Well, it's quite clear you don't know what demure is, Jack. But the very demure, very mindful quote. So I think that the TikTok creator is called Jules LeBron, and it just seems like her words really fit a lot of situations.
Yeah, even the White House tweeted using it, which is, I think, the point at which I went, this has already jumped the shark. They said, cancelling the student debt of nearly 5 million Americans through various actions. Very mindful, very demure.
Very Joe Biden. Yeah,
very pass me the bin.
Exactly the sort of thing you'd say.
Can I just want to say, Kamala Harris, like, I really admire how much they're making the effort to have her speak as little as possible. Okay, Jack, thanks for the view on the streets of New York. No, I'm not going to say that. our man on the ground in New York, keeping it demure, Jack Harris. Queenie, what have you got for us this week?
My story this week really stood out to me because the headline's just fantastic. So a fan got on stage with Macklemore.
Oh, great.
Thrift shop fame.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
She had forgotten that she's wanted by police.
Oh, no.
Brilliant.
My understanding is that she got on stage and the mad part is someone recognised her from the most wanted list.
Oh, wow. That's good work.
Which finally someone who has the same like hobby as me.
Do you feel vindicated?
Just committing them all to memory. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is Macklemore technically an accomplice now?
It's the biggest sting operation you've ever seen.
Sting was there. Oh, there's the hat trick.
Well, yeah, because of the police.
Yeah.
What did she do?
What was her crime?
So they're not like committing this in the articles. They're not saying this is 100% true, but I think someone tried to find it out. And what they've said is that she was... she's actually really cool.
I'm so excited to see what you deem as cool conviction, Queenie.
Which crime is cool?
She was on the most wanted list because she didn't pay a fine after running shirtless during a football match in Slovakia in 2019.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So that's cool as hell. That's like fine.
Wait, is she Slovakia?
Yeah, was this in Slovakia then?
The gig was in Slovakia. I think someone in the crowd spotted her. She did post about it on social media as well, which couldn't have helped.
Kind of makes me want to go live in Slovakia.
That's only from number 42,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
With Macklemore.
Yeah.
There's my story.
That's fantastic. Nice one.
That is fun.
That's nice great. One, Queenie. Emerald, what house-related story have you bought for us this week?
It is kind of house-related. It's definitely old.
Is it?
I feel like a lot of my stuff skews old as in like historical. I think this is definitely not around to, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
Always good to start off strong.
Yeah, this does genuinely feel like a team pitch meeting when we start. Someone goes, this is probably a terrible
this is
idea.
Bad, but hear me out.
Not yeah, this, yeah, yeah. But the world's most haunted doll, the headline is, she's attacked 17 men after being possessed by a jilted bride.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I think Queenie, she might be your new idol.
This is incredible news. I collect like weird little dolls.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, this doll cost £866 on eBay.
Cool.
How much?
Cool.
£866, not 666. They should have done that.
Yeah,
that would have been good.
Is she haunted or possessed by something?
The headline says possessed by a woman called Elizabeth. She's an irritable spirit. At least 15 men and then a couple of other guys have complained about being scratched by her. She's triggered fire alarms. She moves items around the rooms. And she's on display in the Haunted Objects Museum in Rotherham.
I'm going to Rotherham.
I thought you were
going to
say like Salem or something, or like Transylvania. And you're like, in the known.
Haunted Hotspot. I looked at it on the map. It's right near Aldi. So Really handy location. In fact, the reviews for it were really fun. One guy said, good night, not too much happening. Crying boy room was the room for me. And I don't know if that's, that's a room you go to cry if you're a scared little boy.
Or is there a crying boy?
So you can stay overnight in this place, is that?
I think you can stay the night. I think they also do like live streams of their hauntings.
I'm going to quit my job, guys. I'm going to go work in this museum. It's amazing.
It does sound like a bit of you.
Incredible. Yeah.
So these people have spent time with this doll, the people who've said it scratched them. How big is the doll?
From the pictures, she's bigger than a Barbie.
Child size.
And actually, 7 years ago, she was on This Morning. She had a different owner then. It was Eamon and Ruth hosting it, right? They're now divorced, right? Or divorcing. I think it would be a fun clip to play in because basically the chair starts rocking, apparently out of nowhere. So there's this doll sitting on a little rocking chair and it starts rocking. And
there's absolutely a guy with a string on.
I was saying, you can hardly see the string in the video.
And the guy in that interview said he was waking up with scratches in the night and they said, oh, what, could you not just be scratching yourself? And he said what I think is the scariest line of the whole thing. He said, no, I cut my nails to the skin.
Oh,
which is
wow.
So horrifying.
I think spirits are involved in this, but I think the kind you buy in Aldi.
You might be right.
Why are they selling it?
So this couple on This Morning, they sold it 7 years ago. They asked her why she bought it. They said, oh, do you collect dolls? She said, no, actually, I hate dolls. But for some reason, I said, let's just buy it. The whole situation around this doll is weird, which does make me think it is haunted. This is all very odd. Mm. And then she was bought by this guy that runs this haunted place for £866.
Okay,
And now she's hurting more men.
Team trip to Rotherham?
Please.
I thought I could imagine the teams having fun with this and possibly getting quite outraged by it because it's
I think, the calling bullshit on stuff is always a fun thing to chuck in.
Yeah.
Trying to actually drill down into the reality of a man scratching himself whilst lying next to a doll.
In Rotherham.
Rotherham.
The second you say in Rotherham, I don't know why it just loses all credit.
Mike, what's your round two suggestion for this week?
I think, let's face it, in reality, US politics would have been round one, question two, wouldn't it? So we'd have quite a big, nice, meaty round one, which I think, given it's the summer, a lot of people, like we said last week, are on holiday. I think there's a lot of small stories floating around. So we often, I think when we get together at team meetings, we think, how can we link these together? How can we, you know, come up with a game or come up with something that links them? So my round two, it's some very small stories, but it's inspired by the famous Michael Gove quote, people have had enough of experts. So this is a roundup of some small stories we often see in the papers where someone claiming to be an expert has made a big claim about something. So I'm going to give you a topic and I want to see if you can guess what the expert has recommended. Okay. So first up, if you have an urge to smoke a cigarette, what could you consume to avert the craving?
I want to say Pepperami. Similar kind of shape.
Okay. Yeah. What would you smoke it?
You know how they're in, you know how Pepperami are in like a little
condom?
Like a sheath, you could like, I don't know, you could suck on that for a while instead of a cigarette.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
You've thought about this quite a lot.
Yeah.
So. I'm sorry, it's just rendered speechless there. Any other advances on Pepperami?
I'm going to go for a sensible answer and say nicotine gum, because that's always the funniest answer, isn't it?
Wow. That was great.
Thanks, Jack.
Sorry?
No, the answer is actually, according to this newspaper article expert, a glass of milk. So this is according to Marcus Lindblad, who the paper, I think it's The Independent, described as a nicotine expert. So a smoker then.
Yeah.
And he just says he's from Northern. So I don't know if that's a company or lazy geography from the paper. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a great quote to stick up. Yeah. I mean, if you're on 40 a day, you're going to have to get a cow, aren't you? And suckle straight from the source. Because if you've got to have 40 glasses of milk
I thought you were talking about Pepperamis.
Oh, no.
So apparently the alleged science from our nicotine expert is if you drink some milk and then you smoke it, it just tastes horrible. And then as the paper goes on to point out in the article, that pretty much applies to anything.
Yeah.
So that's your first one. Next up, what unlikely item have food experts suggested you should put in your stir fries to improve the flavour? And you can have a clue. You could ask an old person for one. An emerald. No, it's not a pepperami.
That would work in a stir fry, by the way, pepperami.
Oh, it would be. Right. Have you ever done it?
No, but.
Is it denture, like things you put dentures in?
I thought you said just dentures.
Just dentures.
Just cut up your vegetables.
Just leave them in to add a bit of flavour and remove them before you start eating it.
A Werther's Original.
I was thinking
Ooh,
that.
Good shout.
Queenie, you're actually 100% right. It's Werther's Original.
I know my old guys.
No way.
This is in the Daily Star. And if you scroll down the article, you realise that this expert advice is according to research by, Werther's Original.
Oh, right. Okay.
Wow.
And not only that, the Daily Star have actually put the story on their front page.
No way.
How desperate are Werther's Originals in terms of their sales to try and convince people to put them into their stir fry? Are they expecting them to be like a purchase? You know, when you buy like Star of Anise or something for a drink and you end up using one of them and then you've got this whole tub of them. Are they expecting people to buy a big pack of them, use one, and they just sit in the cupboard for the rest of the time?
Until they have another stir fry. Now, apparently, they've suggested a few dishes. So, for example, like a caramelized Vietnamese pork stir fry. Obviously, other sources like honey and sugar are available.
And you don't have to rob them off an old man as well.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, what do experts from the Royal Society of Chemistry want primary school children to learn? And again, these are suggestions from older people, grandees at the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Is it how to donate money to the Royal Society of Chemistry?
Economic lessons. Grandees at the Royal Society of Chemistry this week said they think children should visit garden centres and eat ice lollies, as part of lessons. Although it does sound like they've just been asked to describe their dream day out.
I'm really pro that. I'd quite like to do that now.
What's the reasoning behind it, Mike?
So with the ice lollies, it's giving kids real life experiences to understand chemistry, to understand how things melt, why things melt, changing fluid states, but doing it through a fun way. And they're saying, I think children from maybe disadvantaged backgrounds might not have these opportunities, and going to the garden centre, seeing how things grow, learning how to plant things. But it does feel like someone's just sat around in a park and gone, we need to send these over, these recommendations. Plants, ice lollies.
See, the garden centre thing I kind of get, right? The ice lolly thing, when you're 7 years old and you're chowing down on a fab, you don't give a flying fuck about how it's melting.
No, I think that's the most important thing. You don't want to lose any of that sweet, sweet ice lolly juice.
Mm. Oh, okay.
What's your favourite part of a fab?
White bit.
This chocolate.
Chocolate shouldn't be on there. I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me?
I think it's time to vote on which stories we think were worth best. Okay, Jack, whose story gets your vote this week?
Tough one. I really like both Emerald and Queenie's stories as fun bits to chuck in. But I'm such a sucker for a study, a stupid study. So I really liked your quiz, Mike.
Emerald, who's getting your vote this week?
So if we're discounting Jack's, because we'd probably cover US stuff in round one, I probably would also say the expert stuff. For the week when we don't have like loads of news, I think this is what is making it in the papers. And I think commenting on that is a fun thing.
Mm. I was going to go for Queenie's streaker story.
That was great.
Just because the headline really made me laugh. And that extra detail revealing it was a streaker.
It doesn't define her. Her performance with Macklemore defines her.
I don't know what's more embarrassing, actually.
Queenie, what are you saying?
I think that my story would be better as a missing word because the headline is what's funny about it. And I also think that Mike's expert story would be the best on the show. Also, mainly because we have a running joke behind the scenes that papers love to call experts boffins. And it's just a word that we see all the time. And it is like people can be a boffin of anything.
Or crybaby nerds.
Crybaby nerds.
That is the all-time favorite. Yeah. Yeah. Who was that? Was that the Daily Mail?
Daily Star. Yeah.
Daily Star. Daily Star. I mean, I don't need a lot of maths to tell me that has come back onto me. So I'm in the hosting chair again next week. Thanks so much, guys. Really delighted about that.
You needed a win.
Look forward to it. Thanks for listening to In the News this week.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and X, formerly known as Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us there using the hashtag HignifiPod or emailing podcast@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode. Bye!
Bye!
Ow!
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The engineer is John Wakefield. The executive producer is Claire Broughton, and the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
I chose Stick of the Dump by Clive King.
I've chosen Little Women by Louisa May Alcott.
I have chosen the book When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit.
I have chosen My Friend Flicker.
Danny, Champion of the World.
The Seven Crystal Balls.
The Iron Man.
Claudine at St. Clair's.
The Guinness Book of Records.
I chose Ballyshoes.
And then I came across in the school library a copy of Treasure Island. I was terrified.
I'm Janet Ellis, and each week I invite a guest to come and chat with me about their favourite childhood book. They often bring along their own battered copy.
It's not at all as I remember it.
This is a celebration of reading.
I ended up reading it to my mum at home every night.
Because who doesn't still secretly check under the bed for monsters?
I knew that it was true.
Harbour secret desires to run off to the circus.
Riding like the wind into the purple hills. It really captured my imagination.
Twice Upon a Time. Follow us on Instagram at Twice Upon Pod for updates and guest news.
I want to read this book again and again and again and again and again.
Twice Upon a Time is a Hattrick podcast.